Three left. Three left. I counted earlier, there was like almost 40 people in here, maybe more. So, three left. The next person, it's so funny the way that we decide things on the forum, because like for like a week, there was like this whole controversy of who was going to be the MC, and everyone was like, Michelle or Nick? Or Michelle or Nick, and Nick was like, I'm bubbly. I'm just as bubbly as Michelle. And then I was like, oh, I should, I, and then like 10 minutes before I was leaving to come here, I was like, I should buy some bubbles to like prove that I'm so much more bubbly than Nick. And so I don't know, Nick, like watch out, because my bubbles are just like coming, they're frothing and they're coming to get you. So this is Nick MacArthur.
Okay, so I'm going to read a short piece called Five Short Accounts of Tragic Occurrences. One, Mr. Bloomer boiled the eggs and mashed them in a large bowl. He added mayonnaise and chopped onions, stirred the mix, buttered the bread, and died before lunchtime. The sandwich, uneaten, lay on the table. The mayonnaise was full of regret, and the eggs never said goodbye to their mother. The onions cried. Two, Darlene, I am a flagship full of holes without you. My shipmates are all Republicans who listen to Ace of Base and tell jokes about their ex-wives. My captain is a chimpanzee. Seriously, just pay me the alimony. Three, Mary Jane Somerville, drunk, 16, and full of taco tent enchiladas from the Sayreville Mall food court, purchased a new nose ring and a white vinyl belt and wore them the entire month of February. Her mother egregiously did not see it coming. Four, I am unsure of your flower pattern, Margaret. It strikes me as suspicious and unkind. The lilies are too white. They're like milk spots all over your stomach, and the buttercups also make me very uneasy. Once as a child, I ate a ditch worth of buttercups. I chewed one delicate bell after another until my father came by and said, Jeremy, and I vomited. I shall never forget the aroma. Five, Jasper was ordinarily kind to the handicapped and did not believe in pushing them in baby carriages or in sticking them behind bushes. He thought they should be made to feel as normal as possible, though he did not like them doing his laundry. He also disapproved of their smiles and foreheads. I'm so sorry. He also disapproved of their smiles and foreheads, though he knew well enough that their appearances were not their fault, but somebody else's. That their scene on those charity Christmas specials was the very best they were capable of. They practiced for long hours in rooms full of retards for those charity specials. They worked hard laundering his socks and folding his dress shirts. They were born disadvantaged with those smiles and foreheads, and they did not like to be stuck behind bushes. Jasper was ordinarily unkind to the handicapped. So, because that one was so short, I'm going to read another one that I just finished writing. I just finished editing it today. So, it doesn't have a title yet, I don't think. Feel free to shut one out. I'm shaking. Jesus. There were three young men living in the upstairs apartment, and all of them belonged in hell. There was an invitation that Mr. Bloomer wasn't sure of. He's not dead at this point. There was a promise of gin. There was a promise of music. There was a promise of something grand you couldn't even think of if you held your breath. It had come to that. Invitations were getting thin. Mr. Bloomer was old and not above dying. He could die this evening, or he might die tomorrow evening. He might die later on next week, or not at all. He felt old enough not to die at all, but actually he wasn't. If he wasn't going to pass on this evening, he thought he might attend the party with the three young men upstairs who belonged somewhere in hell. He dressed in mauve and said to himself by the mirror, "There's no savage romance anymore." He left his apartment and climbed the stairs. He knocked on the door and waited. One of the three men with the blue tie opened it, said, "Welcome, welcome, welcome," and patted Mr. Bloomer on the back. The apartment was immense. It spanned into a long twilight horizon where sea crabs and sea light danced on the green rocks. In the foyer, there was yellow, there was green, there were wretched faces. A fellow with a pink tie and a chin shaped like a shoebox was pulling dollar bills from the top of an old piano. He bundled them in nines and wrapped them in saran wrap. Then he threw them at a fan. The money exploded and the man in the pink tie cheered. He looked over at Mr. Bloomer, who stood dumbly in the center floor. The man said, "You're never gonna get rich just standing there, asshole." The third man, who had a green tie and no chin at all, drew pictures of his children on the floor. He labored on his hands and knees with colored chalk and a smudged face. He hadn't seen his children in 12 years, had received no letters, had seen no photos, and when he saw Mr. Bloomer, he pointed at one of the chalk drawings and said, "Just look how big he's getting, bigger than his old man soon." Mr. Bloomer sat on the Chesterfield and waited very selflessly for a drink. He was a little frightened and was thinking how it might be nice to die soon. He waited for something grand to happen that he couldn't even think of if he held his breath. There were no other guests. There was no music. There were no pink lights, dancing animals, drunken lovers, or evidences of God Almighty, the progenitor of goodness. The first man with the blue tie sat down on the couch beside him and sighed. He said, "I've been very lonely. I don't think my wife is ever coming back." "I'm sorry," Mr. Bloomer said. The man sighed again. "I killed her," he said. "I drowned her in a bath full of buttermilk." He looked very sad for a moment, but did not cry. He looked down at the ground and shuffled his feet together. Then he perked up, drove a crooked finger into the air and said, "Drinks. Now who would like some gin?" and ran out of the room. Mr. Bloomer lay down on the Chesterfield and tucked his head under a pillow. He decided to dream. Mr. Bloomer considered what to dream about and decided on something from another universe, from another realm, from another sphere of being altogether. He decided to dream about something he could not even think of if he held his breath, and set to work on conjuring an image of his cat Dixie drinking buttermilk from a bathtub where the man with the blue tie's wife lay drowned. The wife was beautiful and blue as ice. Mr. Bloomer began to weep. Dixie, the old tiger-striped cat with large paws, a large head, and bad hind legs, was disgusted by the weeping. She stopped lapping at the milk and turned to Mr. Bloomer. Perched on the tub ledge, she said, "Now what the hell is this about?" "Oh, never mind him," the dead woman said. "Just please, darling, don't stop."
Always such a pleasure, that MacArthur.